Burford, and you're listening to the Celtics Life Podcast.
Hello, and welcome into the Celtics Life Podcast. In this episode, we're taking a look at the Celtics compared to the other Boston and New England teams, with major moves coming from the Sox and the Bruins this week, and the success the Celtics had in the Brad Stevens era, plus rolling out new segments at the end of the show. So let's kick it off. I'm Tobin Lane. Joining me is Mark Allison. Mark, how's it going?
Good, man. What's up, everybody?
We've got some good news from, like, all the Boston teams. All the, like, Celtics, Red Sox, Bruins, Life guys. We've all got news. J.D. Martinez signing with the Red Sox this past week. The Bruins trading for Rick Nash. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's kind of a good time for Boston sports as a whole.
And we're all good.
Yeah, I kind of want to roll this into its own segment. We'll start with... Which of those moves do you like the most? I mean, Bruins are, like, doing crazy well as far as, like, exceeding expectations and all that stuff. They lost last night to the Maple Leafs, but still.
Yeah, it's like they're I think the Rick Nash signing, trade kind of makes them a legitimate contender. I think people weren't really sure if they were or not, you know, whether or not they were going to be, you know, actually making a deep run. And, I mean, he's one of the best goal scorers in the NHL, so. Awesome. It's great.
Meanwhile, the Sox, who were last in home runs last year, pick up J.D. Martinez, like the third best slugger in the MLB last season. I guess to put this into perspective, you know, like the Sox were already considered a championship contending team last season for the World Series. They have dropped out in the first round twice in the last 2 years and are finally maybe looking like they're willing to push against a stacked Yankees team.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got arguably three contending teams, four if you consider the Patriots as well.
Mm-hmm.
Four teams in Boston that are all pushing for, you know, championship runs. Where do the Celtics rank in the hierarchy of kind of the immediate success of these four squads?
Well, so there's the Pats and then there's everybody else, right? The Pats have been so successful for, 18 years now? Anyone in New England... you know what I mean? If you're picking one team, that's your team.
Yeah.
If especially people that are here in New England, obviously, the Patriots are America runs on Duncan. New England runs on the Patriots right now. Seriously. It's because of success. And I think a lot of it to do with over the past 10 years, football becoming like America's pastime, really. I think most people, and I think part of that is the fact that, like, you can watch every Patriots game and watch every single snap of every game and, like, really feel a connection. Like, you've seen every play of the season, you know what I mean? It's not difficult to watch 16 games and then playoffs after.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's an event every week, right?
Easy to budget a Sunday afternoon. It's a Monday night and then a Tuesday night and then a Thursday and then a Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon.
Right.
It's like the Celtics play. And then sometimes you got West Coast road trips. You'd be up till 1:30 in the morning watching the game.
Stuff mm-hmm. like that.
So, yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah. And I think overall football, whether it's reached its apex or not in terms of popularity, with the, some of the TV ratings this year took a little dip. But, I mean, it's at the same time. It's seemingly the number one sport. I'm obviously ratings wise too in America. So it's if you have a really good football team in your town, that kind of just becomes your lifeblood, I think. But especially in New England, it's Pats and then everybody else. So we can sort out the rest now.
All right, let's start. That's partially why I separated that. You can also include the Patriots if you want to. Where are the Celtics at the top of those three? I mean, my belief is that everyone in Boston is a Patriots fan and mm-hmm. then also a Red Sox fan. That's like guaranteed.
Right.
And then, I think that, you know, you kind of fight over the Bruins and the Celtics. I think that they're like, they both have really strong fan bases, but I don't think someone who's a diehard Celtics fan is also a diehard Bruin fan. Am I wrong on that? I just feel like because they have conflict.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think the majority people, you know, and some people maybe don't watch all the sports, but at the same time, the majority of New Englanders probably like all four teams. But at the same time, there's always like the Yankee fans that like all three other teams, but they like the Yankees. Or, there's a lot of Giants fans around here. So they like all three other teams, but then they like the Giants. I don't think you see that as much with hockey. I think pretty much everyone that lives around here, if they like hockey, they like the Bruins. I mean, mm-hmm. for the most part, with obviously exceptions. But and basketball is kind of all over the place, I feel like. Granted, there's a lot of Celtics fans because they're a successful team, at least over their history, right? So, but like younger kids, a lot of people, they go with players, you know, people like LeBron James or they like Kevin Durant or, you know, like I've got a friend who just likes LeBron James and he was a Cavs fan and then he was a Heat fan and now he's a Cavs fan again.
Yeah, I've got
and,
that. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, and whatever, hopping around, but to his credit, whatever, he roots for whatever team LeBron James is on. So, I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, when he's gone out of the league, I don't know what you do then, but I guess he was a Jordan fan when he was a kid. But I think with hockey is kind of an Boston used to be like a hockey town, right? So, like, I mean, you know, we're up north here, New England, hockey's a big game. But I don't think hockey has the popularity that it used to. It's kind of more of a niche thing now, right? What yeah. do you think?
You know, I mean, the thing is that I haven't lived in Boston since I was a kid, so my like finger on the pulse is a little off.
Yeah,
but you know, I mean, I've been just a huge Celtics fan, and so my belief is just, it's so hard to dedicate because of what we just said. Of like, you got the games on like Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, mm-hmm. like the obscure nights. Then throw in hockey season, which is the same time.
Right, a lot of the games conflict too.
Yeah, that, and then you're also dedicating more nights a week, like maybe 5-6 nights a week to both sports. It's just like. I feel like it's for me, I'm a bigger Celtics fan than I am a Bruins fan. You know, I mm-hmm. like the Bruins. I've got a couple shirts and stuff. You know, I follow. I get alerts when they score, stuff like that. You know, it's like I'm a casual Bruins fan, whereas I'm like a diehard Patriots.
I'm in the same boat as you. I like watching the games, but I don't like. It's not. You know, I go out of my way to watch Celtics games and not Bruins. But yeah. I feel like a lot of hockey fans, though, like. Are like diehards and like that's their sport. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of my friends that are big hockey guys, like they like the Bruins more than they like the Patriots, right? Regardless of winning and whatever, even if they like football and whatever. I feel like hockey has like maybe the staunchest fan base in terms of like they're like diehards and I think that's like hockey's like biggest asset. But I think basketball has a lot of the younger fans. And so when you put the Celtics and the Bruins, they're both probably about the same right now, right? Contending teams, borderline contending teams. You know, fans of both teams probably think that they could win, possibly, a championship this year. But maybe they're both, you know, not quite there yet. But if that being the case, I would say the Celtics get the edge in terms of the hierarchy there just because I think a lot more younger fans are basketball fans than hockey fans.
Who's closer to winning a chip? And include the Sox in this. Who do you think is closer to winning a chip? This includes like landscape of the entire game, obviously.
Well, I would say
it's like the Sox. I would say the best team of the three. Like,
completely. Yeah, perhaps. But obviously that depends on the pitching and whatnot too. But
there's like a lot going on.
But I would say that the Bruins are probably the closest to winning a championship because if Rask gets hot and he has been hot this year. In the playoffs, I mean, you know how hockey, they can ride a hot goaltender. We did it with Thomas, you know, in 2010. You ride him all the way to a championship. They have a goalie capable of doing that, at least we think. And they got to, you know, they just upgraded on offense. And I would say they're, because you know how in basketball where you have these like insurmountable, like Houston and the Warriors and the Cavs, and maybe not so much the Cavs now. The book is out on them, but at least the Warriors, anyways, right? They look like they're the Warriors in Houston. Like it's almost dead set. You know, you can almost count those two guys in for the Western Conference Finals. But in hockey, it's a little different. It's a little there. You know, there's a little more. I don't know. I feel like every team kind of has a shot. You know, not every team, but you know what I mean. There's more teams, and I feel like the Bruins are definitely one of those teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this idea kind of came to me when I saw that Brad Stevens went down to Florida to JetBlue Park to hang out with the Red Sox. And he gave kind of a speech where he said, like, the beginning of the season is the best part. You know, it's like there's great energy and there's all this mm-hmm. stuff. And, you know, I was kind of thinking of the crossover of sports and stuff. And then also, like, looking at the beginning of season in the Brad Stevens era. And then also I kind of looked at it. I was adjusting, I started to look at these numbers and adjusting for what would be considered kind of the beginning of a season. So I was thinking back when the Celtics traded for Isaiah in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that second half of the season was like a brand new team.
Right.
And I think of it as kind of like a beginning of the season. I think that they went on the All-Star break. Or no, they actually were coming back from the All-Star because I was all on the deadline. But they, mm-hmm. just kind of, I think they had like a team meeting and basically like got this energy and then cruised to the seventh seed, which was awesome. You know, I think that his success in the beginning of the season is awesome. He does a great job with that energy. But do you think he kind of falters off midway through, kind of like what we saw leading into this All-Star break?
So maybe, yeah, so you mean like, so perhaps like the guys, yeah, the energy. And then, and right, and now it looks like so far they've regained some of that, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right, though. I mean, and the history of all the, I mean, it seems like every year they get stronger in the second half of the season, right? Last year we had the same, I mean, we made that charge to get all the way to the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In the second half, I mean, they were, I don't think, we weren't in first at the break last year.
No, we were in like third, I think.
Yeah, and then it was Kevin Love got hurt, so that was kind of I remember the Cavs faltered for a while there, right? And then, yeah, I mean, it's almost like you said, like it is like maybe a reset. Everybody focus, you know? I mean, it seemed like a lot of the guys, especially the guys talking, Kyrie talking at the All-Star game and, you know, at the events and stuff about how he was, you know, not really concerned at all what's going on there and like just kind of trying to stay focused on what they needed to do when they got back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was, you know, Michael Dyer, who's a former Celtics Life writer and, you know, pro Twitter user, tweeted.
Pro Twitter user.
He tweeted that the defense against the Knicks last night looked like first half defense, early season defense from the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I mean, the same thing could be said against the Pistons in the third quarter. And say what you will about Marcus Smart's contributions being part of why we've started 2-0 outside of the break.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe he renews that energy. Maybe he rekindles it.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm a huge supporter of like locker room chemistry leading to success on the court or on the field. I think that's why the Sox won the 2013 World Series. I don't think mm-hmm. they were the most talented team, but I think just the chemistry in the locker room, the clubhouse was just so great. And so I think that if Stevens can get that energy going, get people really feeling good in the locker room, then they'll play better than they are.
Yeah.
The way they did in the beginning of the season without Gordon Hayward. When everyone was asking, oh, how long will it take this team to glue? And seemingly it was only two games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that this energy is something that Brad Stevens somehow gets and then, you know, it starts to kind of stoke up and then it eventually starts into a fire, which hopefully we can kind of work into the playoffs. But I don't know if we've had a lot of success with that in the playoffs in the Brad Stevens era. I guess, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what I noticed, and this stuck out to me these last two games, like definitively. I felt like we were going to win both games like the whole time. Like, and that's kind of a feeling that I had earlier this season, you know, when we were rolling and, you know, like November, December, and we were, like, it always felt like we were going to win. Even when it was, I mean, these games, neither one of these games was a blowout, right? I mean, they may have been like ended in 10 points or whatever. But
yeah.
Like they were, you know, it was always like 6 points down the stretch, whatever. I mean, fell asleep in the game last night during a timeout in fourth quarter, and you know, like, with like 4 minutes left in the game, and it just, you know, like I didn't even, you know, it just didn't even faze me. Like I thought they had the game. You know, I don't know. Like they seemed to have like the composure they got back in these past two games that they had earlier this year. Whereas like even when they were down big. It's like, yep, they're down 10, but you know what? They're just going to stay focused and play like every possession. They got back that focus that they needed, like where maybe they lost that the last couple of weeks before the break.
Do you think it's sustainable
for them to keep rolling? Like,
yeah,
I mean, I see they did it for so long the first half of the year. I don't see why. They wouldn't be able to do it at least to getting to the playoffs. Right. And then it becomes a different game, obviously. So whether that's, I mean, really, you know, last year when we hit the playoffs, it was kind of like, oh man, like, right. They almost got dumped by the Bulls in the first round and, kind of maybe lost focus there. You know, I don't know. But I don't think there's any reason why they can't do it for the rest of the season and, you know, end with one of the top seeds in the East and like be playing strong heading into the playoffs. And I mean, who knows that when you get there, right?
Yeah. I'm hopeful that they can keep this energy, but it's, I mean, that's the thing. The NBA season is so grueling,
mm-hmm.
and it goes on for so long. I mean, we've only got like 20 something games left.
Yeah. But,
you know, to be able to hold this energy that we've got and that we had at the beginning of the season, it lasted for 20 so games, right? That mm-hmm. winning streak went for 16 games, 16.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that there's a lot of possibility we could keep going on to the playoffs, but then to then get it going again, kind of jump that fire again, that engine again, is going to be tough. And so mm-hmm. I'm looking at where like it might start to slow down, and then like that looks like it's going to be at the beginning of the playoffs. So yeah. When do you start to kind of calculate this stuff as Brad Stevens? Of like, all right, how can I rest guys or do what I need to do to gear up for the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Brad Stevens is much of a guy for rest.
I think the way that he plays, playing a lot of guys, 10, 11 guys sometimes, right, every night, goes a long way to guys not needing to get like crazy like rest. Like, I mean, I think that helps keep guys fresh. And I think one thing that a lot of people overlooked with Smart being out, yeah, we miss Smart's, you know, tenacity and you know, his physicality, whatever, on the floor and all the things that he does. But at the same time, you were missing a guy that plays 30 minutes a game. And it's not like, so that throws, everybody else has to play more minutes. It's not like we were going to the bench and playing like Abdel Nader, like, you know, a serious amount of minutes. I mean, he might've got like 5 minutes or something a game, but you were counting on the same other guys to step up, to not only like do things that they're not maybe normally accustomed to doing, like the things that Smart did. And then at the same time, they're playing more minutes too. So like yeah. double the strain on guys where it's like, I think that is a big thing we're missing Smart was. We shortened the rotation. Guys were maybe guys did get gassed over those last couple of weeks because playing roles that they're not normally used to playing and playing more minutes than they're normally used to playing.
Yeah, that could definitely be true because at the beginning of Smart's injury, Kyrie Irving went down and Shane Larkin went down. So it was almost exclusively Terry Rozier in the backcourt.
Yeah, we had Terry Rozier and Al Horford playing point guard that one game, right? That was like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, there's I can agree with that. So I guess injuries are a big part of it. We did hear last night Brad Stevens reiterated that Gordon Hayward is not going to return this season. Do you believe that?
See, I don't believe that. No. And not that I'm saying he's definitely going to play, but I think the Celtics have done the right thing this whole time, and they said right from the jump he wasn't going to play this year. Like, this takes all the pressure off of him, right? Because they've been saying all along he's not going to play. Now, us fans can get, you know, excited and whatever about this, that. But as far as the team's concerned, he's not playing this year. That's what they've said all year long, right? So then if he did actually make it back to play, it would be like this huge, you know, whatever, like revelation where it'd be like, oh my God, we're going to get, you know, Gordon back. And but they take all the pressure off him by saying that. You know, they're not going to say, well, maybe, and then he's got to go to the gym and then, you know, he's trying to work extra hard to get back because there's a chance and everyone's going to, you know, they did the right thing by like nipping that in the bud right away. And they've kept that same message the whole time. Now you've heard Ainge a couple of times mention, at least on the local radio, you know, that there, it's not out of the realm of possibility. So, I mean, that door is still certainly at least ajar, right?
Do you think, and this kind of goes back to the comparison of the Red Sox, with the signing of J.D. Martinez, that's one of their better major signings within the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Is Gordon Hayward our best in the last couple of years? I mean, obviously we haven't seen him play, but the potential of his fit and, you know, all that with this Celtics team, with Brad Stevens, is what we would imagine is a match made in heaven. Do you think he's our best free agent signing, or do you think somebody else, Al Horford, or do you want to go further back as far as most recent best signing?
It's got to be Hayward, right? I mean, he was, and guard, obviously, we saw him play for 2 minutes, right? Or whatever it was that he played in that first game. But,
yeah.
I mean, granted, like, the player that he was last year, at his age, you know, to sign a guy like that, one of the better players in the NBA, I mean, that's the best free agent signing the Celtics have ever had. Yeah, there's nobody. Al Horford was, I mean, the year before we were saying it was Al Horford, you know, and I think Hayward's on another level than Horford.
So, I think it was Evan Turner.
Yeah, Evan Turner. Are you sure? I mean, you know, we did sign Shaquille O'Neal's corpse a while back too. Actually, I shouldn't say that because we actually Shaquille O'Neal, he was obviously injury riddled that year, so he was like he was gone. But when he played, he looked pretty good on that team. But I will say that signing was terrible because that signing, when they thought he was healthy around the trade deadline, and then they traded Kendrick Perkins, that totally torpedoed our postseason chances because we had no center. He was playing; he could only play like 8 minutes a game or something like that in the playoffs. I'll never forget that.
So, and that was back when like centers were vital.
NBA, like you had to have a center on your team. You know, I mean, Kendrick Perkins was, you know, he was a dynamo for our team for all those years when we had all those guys, and that killed the our starting five with the big three. There was undefeated in a playoff series until they decided to trade Kendrick Perkins. And Danny Ainge has been on the record saying he regretted that because necessarily the return from Jeff Green. Like Jeff Green was okay, but the problem was he ruined the chemistry of that team.
I've got a Jeff Green jersey. I love Jeff Green. One?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So it's not like Jeff Green was like this terrible, you know, it's because Perkins went downhill after that anyways. You know, he had like maybe one good year on the Thunder after that. So the trade itself was probably comparable. The problem was he ruined the chemistry on that team.
So is Shaq your Pablo Sandoval of signings? Is he like
I mean I only thought that deal was terrible because it spurred that, and obviously Shaq wasn't quite right. When he played that year, he was good, you know.
Who's your Pablo Sandoval deal?
I don't know. Jermaine O'Neal I was excited about, and that was I think the year before that we signed Jermaine O'Neal. He really did look like a corpse out there. I mean, he was that was kind of sad. I always appreciated Jermaine O'Neal's game, and I thought, you know, he would be a solid, you know, addition. Didn't have to be a, you know, superstar player here. I thought he was just going to be a glorified role player, and he was just pretty useless.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And that was, I mean, we got kind of this lull in news, so that's why I'm bringing all these comparisons in.
It's
interesting to look at you know, the similarities between the Boston teams and the fact that, you know, all of them are contending. Patriots, Super Bowl for the past 2 years. Yeah, the Bruins picking up this forward who can, you know, maybe give them a serious chance at a Stanley Cup final. And then the Sox, who have been in the conversation for the past 3 years, adding a huge bat to maybe give them a shot against the Yankees in the ALCS. The Dodgers in the World Series, or whoever ends up making the World Series, Cubs maybe, I don't know.
It's
really interesting how this is the first time that I can think of that like every team in Boston has been, you know, like you can flip on any channel in the Boston sports market and enjoy probably a pretty good game, which is really, really awesome.
I think the last time that I remember all the teams being this good was I think it was 2010. The Patriots went to the Super Bowl that year, the second time we lost to the Giants, or it's 2012, maybe, whatever. Yeah, and then the Bruins were also a Stanley Cup contender. The Sox were there was a year where we almost won all four championships.
That was I think the Bobby Valentine year. I think that was just like a rough. I feel like that wasn't the Sox.
No. The Sox were good that year too. The year that I'm thinking of. I'm trying to think of what year it was.
It wasn't 2012 because the Sox were out of the playoffs.
They were atrocious that year. Okay.
Yeah, and then they came back in 2013, won the World Series.
Okay, so maybe
out of nowhere. It's like worst.
I think I'm thinking of like 2010.
Could be. That was the year that the Bruins did win the Stanley Cup, right?
Yeah. Well, 07, 08, technically, that was the Patriots would have been undefeated had they won that game, right? The Celtics won the championship that year. I don't remember if the Bruins were good. And then the Sox won in 07. So it was technically the year before, but we almost had them all in a row, had the Bruins won that. But the Bruins, I don't think, were on the level yet.
What's the window as far as, like, if the Bruins, Celtics, and Sox win this year? So that's like June of 2018 for the Bruins and the Celtics. Mm-hmm. And
we know the Patriots will have a shot, right, next year. Yeah. They'll at least be in the mix.
Yeah, so what's the window? Because October of 2018, but then Patriots win 2019? Obviously 2018.
Yeah, but it would still be four in a row, right? So that still counts, right?
Okay.
It doesn't
really that's why I wonder what the window is.
As long as it's in a row, right? So it's in play. We're in play. I would say the chances I don't know. Who do you think has a better chance? The Sox or the Celtics?
Because
I think the Bruins have the best chance just based on the unpredictability of like hockey. Like if Rask is hot, like they could totally win.
I would say the Celtics, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. You think the Celtics?
Yeah, it's going to be next year for sure with Hayward back. You know, like I think they'll really be a contender next year. And not that I don't, you know, they might be able to come out of the East this year, but I don't know if they can beat the Warriors or the Rockets in the
Rockets
finals.
Rockets look good, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to that series.
Yeah,
that is going to be, and especially with Durant versus Harden too. That'll be really cool.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. The Nuggets are like half a game or a game and a half behind the 3 seed, but also a game and a half back of being out of the playoffs. That's how tight.
Is that right? Is that how tight it is in the West? Oh, I knew it was pretty jammed up, but wow.
Yeah, just from 3 down.
Wow.
Obviously, the Rockets and the Warriors have a pretty good stronghold on the top two, but it's just this mess of teams in the bottom 7 or bottom 6. So it's really interesting. Some serious stuff going on in the Western Conference. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun playoffs, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Rockets and the Warriors are going to cruise to the.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the Spurs, like they're like, aren't they the 3 seed? And yet, you know, they don't even have Kawhi or maybe
what's going on there.
I don't know. It's amazing that they're still competing at that level, though.
Yeah, the 4-5 matchup is gonna be a lot of fun in the West. Mm-hmm. I'm really this is gonna be like one of the more exciting playoffs, I think.
Yeah, I think even in the East too, the teams are a lot better this year. You know, there's gonna be a couple of like Toronto, Celtics. I don't. Washington, but Toronto, Cleveland, Boston. We're going to see at least 2 matchups between those two, right?
Hey, man, Washington has turned it on.
Yeah, no, I know. I just don't know. You know, I don't know if I believe, but, I mean, they look good. You know, the Bucks too. It's going to be – they're just such a crazy, you know, just because of Giannis. Like, it's just they're going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm looking forward to. Yeah, there's gonna be some good matchups on both sides. It's gonna be a fun playoffs.
I'm really
excited for it. And then baseball season starting. I'm so excited. I'm just like
This is like a good time of year for sure. If the Patriots had won the Super Bowl, I'd be riding real high right now. But unfortunately, that didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, I blame Foles. I blame Nick Foles being just the worst.
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
Yeah, I know. I used to be like, all right, whatever. He's just a backup. Whatever, it's fine. His career is good. Doesn't matter. Oh man, now I'm upset. Look what you did, Mark.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, final segment. Is the grass greener? Looking at other Celtics, we're not sure if we're gonna keep this going, but for now it's fun. Looking at other Celtics who have moved on, done other things. Jay Crowder and Jonas Jerebko, who are off in Utah doing pretty great things.
Are they balling out over there?
Dude, they won like 11 or 12 straight or something.
Really?
The Jazz are killing it.
Nice.
Yeah.
But are those guys like balling though? I mean, is Jay like playing?
I think he has. I believe he has. He was traded obviously from the Cavs at the deadline. Mm-hmm. He's kind of getting back into his system. And he said that actually.
So he's scoring 14 a game, right? 14, over 4 rebounds. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's just his time in Utah too. So
yeah, so he's been doing.
That's about what he was doing in Boston too, right?
Yeah. So. Also, I mean, Jonas, I love Jonas Jerebko, man. He's my favorite.
He's just a great like intangibles guy. Like, kind of like he's not great at any one thing. He just kind of is good at everything, right? Like he can do so many different things.
He can give you a little bit of a scoring punch off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Capable of it.
Yeah. Spreads the floor. He's a good defender. He's not like an elite athlete, but he's like in the position he's supposed to be in.
And I'll say, I think he's a good locker room guy. So I think he brings a lot of chemistry. Yeah, I think it's a big deal. Do you think the grass is greener for both of them?
Well, it's certainly better than Cleveland. I don't know about better than Boston, but maybe. I mean, maybe it gives Jay a chance to play more. I don't know. It seems like he's putting up the same numbers in Boston, though, so I'm not really sure what his minutes discrepancy is there. But if he's scoring 14 and, you know, 4 over there, I mean, he was doing 14 and 5 here, so it's about the same.
Yeah, a little bit of fall off.
Definitely greener than the grass over in Cleveland, for sure.
True. True.
And I just wonder why he fell off so bad over there. Like, that's, you know.
Well, and I've had this argument with a bunch of people. I'm really high on coaches in the NBA. I've had arguments with people. Yeah. Coach does not matter. You know, it just doesn't make a difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, I think of Rick Carlisle as a good coach, but he could not unlock the potential that was Jay Crowder. Mm-hmm. He couldn't do it. I mean, Jay played there for 3 years, right?
Yeah.
3-4 years. Got traded, and then all of a sudden, like, it's not like he just suddenly became more talented.
Yeah.
That he had that talent, and Brad Stevens mm-hmm. knew how to play it. Tyronn Lue did not know how to let Jay Crowder play.
Yeah, right. And sometimes it's a case of a coach, maybe like Rick Carlisle is a good coach, maybe just not quite using a player the way he should, or something like that. Whereas Ty Lue, you know, I don't know how good of a coach he is or not, because it seems like LeBron coaches that team, but, you know, whatever.
Also, I think Jay is a chemistry guy. I think Jay thrives in a system where he just, like, feels good about stuff.
Part of a team, not part of LeBron's team.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, after that Gordon Hayward incident, when he, like, got really mad on Twitter, didn't he have, like, a pretty awful game when fans were cheering for Gordon Hayward in the...
Yeah, you know, yep.
Like, he just mm-hmm. didn't play well. I think if he's feeling good,
mm-hmm.
in a good place, then he's going to play well. And agreed. In Boston, he had that. And in Dallas, there wasn't really a lot going on. Maybe he didn't care. And
mm-hmm.
just wasn't worth playing. I don't know. But, you know, I like Quinn Snyder. I think he's a good
coach. Yeah, I think he's a good coach, too.
So, I'm hopeful that they both do well. I mean, Jonas has been doing well, and it's the Jazz as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty balls additionally. So, you know, I'm feeling good about that team. And I think they're both going to enjoy a good time. I think Jonas has another year on his deal after this.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can come back to Boston, be the glue guy.
Yeah. Holla.
All right. That's all we got for you guys. We got some good games coming up this week. Houston in the beginning of March, I think, next weekend.
So yep, the 3rd.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So good games coming up. Good stuff to look out for on Celtics Life. We got some draft things starting to come up from around Thomas Lane. All those cool things coming up. And be sure to check out all of the links at the top of CelticsLife.com, where we have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in our store. And you can also get tickets to the next game under the heading. You can also find the pod on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and most podcatcher apps. We have it on Google Play, again, which we had since the beginning of our podcasting days, and we're very excited about that. If you have Google Play, you should listen to it on there. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode, and if you like what you hear, we'd really appreciate it if you rated us 5 stars, as it will help us be seen by other basketball podcast listeners and just help us grow and stuff like that. If you don't like something or you have a suggestion, let us know with a comment on any Celtics Life article or on Twitter with the hashtag CLPod, where we try and bring you fun content, or at least I do. We're always trying to bring you the Celtics covers that you want, just the way you like it. Shade prone at you guys, my fellow podcasters. All right, anything you want to add, man?
I'm good, man. All right. Have a good week, everybody.